Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, September 8th. Available skilled workforce wanted. Job fair provides opportunity to be hired on the spot, leave with a job. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Higher oil prices create more opportunities for a workforce limited by the number of available skilled workers. For those looking to advance their career, job fairs, like the one conducted by Job Fairs Now on Wednesday at the Horseshoe Arena, provided opportunities for already employed individuals looking for the next best position, according to Kim De La Pena, the Job Fairs Now organizer. De La Pena added that while Midland's 3.5% unemployment rate can make it a challenge for companies looking to hire, job fairs provide an opportunity for those willing to make the trip to Midland. The Bureau of Labor Statistics showed jobless rates in cities like Odessa, 5.1%, and states like New Mexico, Mississippi, and Louisiana, where unemployment rates were at least a percentage point higher. Quote, "A lot of them come from out of state," De La Pena said, "from all over Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi, and they drive in for the event. We actually have some from Mississippi here today. They usually get hired on the spot, and they leave with a job," end quote. The fair mainly consisted of oil, energy, and midstream companies, along with bus companies, QRX radio station, and Midland County. Representatives claimed finding employees is always a work in progress. A representative of Targa Midstream Services commented, "Finding help is not easy at all. You try to get the word out about your company through just word of mouth or visiting people in different places." Targa was a Midland-Odessa company impacted by the exodus of employees during the pandemic. "Those employees never came back," they said, even when oil prices topped $100 a barrel. The BLS showed that the civilian labor force in the Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area grew by less than 750 in July compared to July 2021, despite the better economic conditions. In Odessa, workforce growth was less than 500 compared to 1 year ago. Quote, "People aren't moving in like they were before, so it's getting a little tougher," a Targa official said. Chris Moulton, general manager of the Midland-Odessa Transportation Company, All Aboard America, remarked that Midland is the hardest market to find employees, and it has been for many years because of the prevalence of the oil business. All Aboard America was taking applications for drivers and mechanics at the fair. Quote, "For 35 years, it's been this way. When the oil fields is kicking, it's really hard to find workers because they can make a lot more in the oil field," he said. He added that workers with similar mechanical skills can make up to $35 per hour working in the oil fields, admittedly a great wage, Moulton said. Sometimes companies are hindered by the lack of applicants with the skills needed. West Texas Premix Pits, an oil field service company in Midland County, offers opportunities for premix pits, supervacs, screen washers, bulk bottle blowers, and other oil field services. A staff member with the company said its opening are pretty niche. Officials with Ector County Energy Company BCM and Associates claimed it was difficult to find employees because of the kind of derrick hands and floor hands they are seeking aren't always available due to the abundance of competition. Quote, "We're trying to find experienced people," one staff member said. Dixon to make run for mayor. Candidate claims pretty obvious he's not a politician. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Meet Robert Allen Dixon. he's running for mayor. The most unknown of the three people running to lead the city, Dixon appreciates the community where he has lived since 1977 and wants to give back. Dixon will take on Councilwoman Lori Blong and former Mayor Jerry Morales to become the next mayor of Midland. All three are on the November 8th ballot. Quote, "I'm 65 and a retired carpenter," Dixon said. "Midland has always done me good, and I would like to try the best I can to help Midland out." End quote. Dixon doesn't have a formal platform. That is not what his campaign is about. He's worried about drought conditions like Midland has experienced this year and wants to make sure water supplies and infrastructure are where they need to be for the long term. He is bothered by the drug traffic impacting the country, especially fentanyl, and believes Midland's residents deserve better than the criminal element attempting to break into houses and cars. Quote, "Someone breaking into a car should have to spend a month in jail before being able to bail out," Dixon said. "Breaking into a house, and you should have to spend 6 months in jail before bailing out." Dixon says he supports the local police and fire departments. Quote, "We have the best police and fire departments in the state of Texas," end quote. And says the hospital is the best Midlanders can get. He said he has screws in his foot and neck and has had a couple of hernia surgeries to prove the quality of care. Dixon says he knows Midland is an oil town. He came to Midland at age 18 to work with Texaco on a seismic crew for a year before going into carpentry and construction. He remembers seeing the skyline on his arrival into the tall city. He said this week he wouldn't mind adding to Midland's signature skyline with another larger building project. Quote, "Midland has a lot going for it," Dixon said. "If someone wanted to build a tall building, I think that would be great," end quote. Dixon said he's always admired former Sheriff Gary Painter for his honesty and believes Midland should have a memorial that pays tribute to him. When asked about other elected officials he appreciates, he said he supports Governor Greg Abbott, how the governor has overcome his disability, and how he's handled the immigration issue, busing those who cross the border to cities like New York, Washington, and Chicago. He also appreciated Ross Perot running as an independent in 1992 and shaking things up, something he's trying to do this fall. Quote, "I'm not a politician. That is pretty obvious," Dixon said. "I am what I am," end quote. On November 8th, what Dixon is will be a candidate for mayor. Culinary student makes mark with baking business K. Ross Delights. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Catherine Ross, an Odessa College culinary student, has capitalized on her love for baking and gained funding for her education by starting K. Ross Delights, a baked goods business. She bakes and operates out of Half Acre, a Midland restaurant owned by Midland Meat Company, which has featured some of her products in their store. She mainly sells candied pecans along with cupcakes, cake pops, and occasionally birthday cakes. She remarked that she has wanted to be a baker since she was young, but the COVID-19 lockdowns made her put her passion into action. The pandemic was a time marked by struggle and hardship for everyone, but Catherine was able to start experimenting with recipes and various foods. Quote, "During the quarantine, of course, everything was shut down, so I had a lot more time to explore the different things I could do. That's when I first created the pecans," she said. As K. Ross Delights continues to grow, Ross hopes to take on more customized orders for customers. Quote, "Right now I'm in school, so it's a little harder to do some of the customized things," she said. As a culinary student, K. Ross Delights has helped its owner provide for her own education. Quote, "This definitely helps me a lot. It allows me to use the money from this to help pay for my culinary school, and even if I don't make quite enough on some things for it, it helps take the burden off just taking it out of my paychecks," she said. Ross moved from Louisiana to the Permian Basin in 2013 and has observed a strong culinary culture in West Texas. Quote, "I love being out in West Texas. Out here, I see a lot of creativity in food than in some of the other places I've lived," she said. "I love the uniqueness of the food out here," end quote. Ross mainly sells candied pecans, including sugar and cinnamon flavors, and a new spicy flavor. She plans to expand to the flavors in the future. Quote, "When I'm available to do the farmer's market, I like to do little cupcakes or cake pops, just kind of things that are more bite-sized," she said about her products. Ross should graduate from culinary school next spring. She admits it may take some time, but her ultimate goal is to own her own established bakery and keep offering her treats to make people happy. Quote, "That's what I feel food should be. It should make you happy," she said.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday. What You Need to Know About Air Show by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Back for the 31st year, the Commemorative Air Force Air Show will take place Saturday and Sunday at the Midland International Airport. A strong community event, the crew at the CAF hangar invite any and everyone out for 2 days full of loud noises, exciting sights, and educational activities. Patrons can expect a Pearl Harbor reenactment with pyrotechnics by Tora Tora Tora, the longest-running air show act, celebrating 50 years. Other performances include the P-40 Warhawk fighter plane from World War II, the B-25 Devil Dog Bomber, formation demonstrations by the High Sky Wing, the Hot Streak 2 jet truck, Mike Galloway in extra 300 high-performance aerobatic airplane, and Aaron Taylor in his Super Stearman biplane. After the show, some planes will offer rides for a fee. Some other attractions of note include the new Chevron STEM Zone, located in the Kids Corral, which offers 7 stations of interactive learning in relation to science, technology, engineering, and math. There will also be a trade show, car show, and shine, food, vendors, inflatables for little ones, and more. At a glance, Commemorative Air Force Air Show, Saturday and Sunday, Midland International Airport. Tickets and parking, airshow, airsho.org. $5 general admission, kids 5 and under are free. Upgrade to seating and shade in Flight Line Chalet for $25 per person. VIP parking is $25 per car. Car show and shine parking is per $25 per car. General admission parking is $10 per car and cash only for parking. Schedule, 8 a.m., gates open for volunteers. 9 a.m., gates open to public. 10 a.m., Sunday, worship service in the CAF chapel. 11 a.m., bomber and fighter ramps, static displays close. 11:15 a.m., flying begins. 11:45 a.m., presentation of colors. 11:50 a.m., opening remarks. Noon, national anthem and flying continues. 3:30 p.m., flying finishes, and 4 p.m., vendors, concessions, trade show close. All times are subject to change. 58th Annual September Fest is this weekend. By Morgan Taylor Thomas. If you're headed to the Museum of the Southwest, 1705 West Missouri Avenue, this weekend for the 58th Annual September Fest, here's a few things you should know beforehand. How much does it cost and when is it? The Art Festival will run 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and noon to 5 p.m. Sunday. Tickets run $15 for adults and seniors, $10 for children 3 to 12 and free for children under 3. Tickets can be bought through the Septemberfest page at museumsw.org and remain valid for admission to both days. What's on display? From glass blowing and sculpting to jewelry making and painting, 38 artist booths bring a massive collection of ocular entertainment. There will be demonstrations as well as pieces for sale throughout the two-day event. With a mix of familiar and new faces participating, some creators include Eric Mort, Blown Glass, Jennifer Pate, Fiber, Jamie Rood, Mixed Media, Elaine Lonau, Oil Acrylic, Ryan Minchu, Handmade Knives, Shelby Elizabeth, Ink, Timothy Harris, Photography, and Tina Couette, Stained Glass. To see a list of all artists and their specialized craft, visit museumsw.org. Are there food and drinks? No matter your preference or dietary restrictions, everyone will be covered with this year's food truck selection. Enjoy a turkey leg, funnel cake, or pineapple freeze from AJ's Concessions, a burger from the Midland West Side Lions Club, tacos or a quesadilla from Cochina Ramos, plant-based bites and smoothies from Lush Vegan Shakes, a delicious dessert from Treats, Beets, and Sweets, hand-stretched and wood-fired Italian goodness from De Casa Pizzeria, or a smoked sandwich from Tasty Bones Roland Kitchen. All menus and trucks are subject to change. Need to wash down your savory lunch? A long and loaded beer garden can be found on the front lawn of the historic Turner Mansion. Is there stuff for kids? Bouncy houses, a miniature golf course, hands-on arts and crafts, and more will be available to littles at the Kinderfest portion of the celebration. Furthermore, the planetarium and rest of the museum campus will be open for guests to explore. Is there anything new? The main addition to this year's festivities is that Septemberfest will once again be a juried festival. Cash prizes will be awarded to the first, second, and third place winners, as well as honorable mentions at the Friday preview party, along with a silent auction. So make sure to congratulate them this weekend. Community calendar. Casa de Amigos, Familia Fest, September 16th. Miss Casey's Wonderland, 38th Annual Grand Holiday Reveal, Friday. COM Aquatics, The Big Show, September 17th. The Destination, Tall City Blues Fest, September 24th. Horseshoe, West Texas Blowout, Friday. Wine, Women, and Shoes, September 15th. Showbiz, West Texas, September 17th. Rhea Lana, September 24th through the 28th. Keep Midland Beautiful, 26th Annual Trio of Gardens, Sunday. Midland Shared Spaces Dueling Piano Event, September 22nd. Museum of the Southwest, Midland Downtown Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Saturday. Septemberfest, Friday through Sunday. Rolling Sevens Ranch, Music Mania Festival, Saturday. St. Anne's Catholic Church, St. Anne's Fair, September 22nd through the 25th. Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Your West Texas Symphony, opening night, Saturday. Tesla, Monday. Through the Years with the Kenny Rogers Band, Tuesday. George Thorogood and the Destroyers, September 14th. Philippe Esparza, September 16th. Distinguished Lecture Series, Robert M. Edsel, September 27th. Kevin James, September 30th. Windwalker Farms, Freedom Service Dogs Clay Shoot, September 16th. Black Gold Registered Shoot, September 24th through the 25th.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, September 8th. Annelle Marlene Mack passed away on August 30th after a long and healthy life. She was born April 28, 1934, in Dodge City, Kansas, to Earl and Lorraine Lupton. She grew up on a wheat farm near Montezuma, Kansas, and attended high school there. She later attended Kansas State University, where she graduated in 1956 with a B.S. in Home Economics Education and was a member of Alpha Chi Omega sorority. She taught home economics at Garden City High School, where she met a college student from Tulsa University who had a summer job there with Texaco. She and Jimmy Don Mack were married August 10, 1958, and remained together for 55 years. They later moved to Texas and lived in Crane, Snyder, Wichita Falls, and Midland three times. After the family's final move to Midland, she stayed there for nearly 50 years. She is survived by her daughter and son-in-law, Rhonda and Doug Schmidt of Richardson, Texas, son and daughter-in-law Rodney and Jill Mack of Sentinel, Colorado, and several grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to Meals on Wheels of Midland. A memorial service will be held at First Methodist Church of Midland at 1 p.m. on September 16th. Dorothy Carolyn Harris, age 91, of Midland, passed away on Thursday, September 1st. Carolyn was born in Struggleville, Oklahoma, on May 8, 1931, to Carol and Annery Nichols. She met and married Stanley Harris in 1955. In 1969, they moved to Midland. Carolyn started work at the Midland County Tax Office and worked there for 30 years. She is survived by her son, Stan Harris, and wife, Terry Harris, from Albuquerque, New Mexico, as well as her grandson, Jason Harris, and granddaughter, Jordan Bogart. She delighted in her great-grandson, Harrison Bogart. A public visitation for Dorothy will be held Thursday, September 8th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. A funeral service will occur Friday, September 9th at 10 a.m. at First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue in Midland. A burial will occur Friday, September 9th at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorial contributions be made to Midland Baptist Crisis Center or West Texas Food Bank. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Harris family. Lavoine Tally Brown, age 92, died peacefully on August 30th in Abilene. Lavoine was born February 24, 1930, in Burleson, Texas, to Laura and Thomas Tally. Lavoine grew up in Dallas, but spent much of her time at the family farm in Burleson. She studied at Southern Methodist University and later worked in Dallas, where she met the love of her life, Robert Bob Brown, and married in 1951. Lavoine and Bob raised their family in Dallas, but later spent time in College Station and retired in Abilene. Bob passed in 2013, and Lavoine moved to Midland several years later, where she lived at Menor Park. She recently returned to Abilene. She is preceded in death by her husband, Robert Brown, her brother, Bobby Jack Tally, and her parents, Laura and Thomas Tally. She is survived by her daughters, Kristen Andrews and husband Jim of Midland, Lauren Brown, M.D., and husband Jim Rhodes of Horseshoe Bay, Texas, and Tamara Pate, M.D., and husband Preston Pate, M.D., of Abilene, Texas, and several grandchildren. Visitation and rosary will be held at the Hamill Family Funeral Home in Abilene on Thursday, September 8th. The visitation begins at 6 p.m. and rosary at 7 p.m. Memorial service and Mass will follow on Friday, September 9th at 10:30 a.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church. Arrangements are handled by the Hamill Family Funeral Home in Abilene. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Hospice of Midland. Bobby Wayne Fielding, age 86, passed away Sunday, September 4th. A viewing will be Sunday, September 11th from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A funeral service is set for Monday, September 12th at 10 a.m. at Calvary Assembly of God. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Sandra Dragicic, age 72, of Midland, passed away August 31st. The family will have a private service later. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, September 8th. Odessa to be featured in Amazon documentary. The city of Odessa will soon be known for more than its legacy football team and oil fields. The city will be featured in the third season of Amazon Prime's The Story of Art in America documentary. Director Christelle Boyce and her crew plans to meet with various Odessa artists in May 2023 for a documentary that will be released in early 2024, said Pierre Gervois, the executive producer of Legit Productions in Brooklyn, New York. The filming of the series will coincidentally be the first week of Odessa's Mural Fest, during which five murals will be painted in downtown Odessa, said Randy Hamm, Odessa Arts executive producer. I'm very proud of this, Hamm told the Odessa City Council Tuesday afternoon. It shows how effective our public art program is. It shows the attention it's getting nationwide. It shows the attention it's getting in our own city, and we will have something to show the entire world and our community about our community's investment in art. I'm very, very proud of that. Odessa will be one of 10 Texas cities featured in Season 3. Boyce and her crew will spend the entire month of May in Texas. Gervois said, the other cities will be announced in November. Season 1 featured Santa Fe, New Mexico, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Phoenix, Arizona, Great Falls, Montana, Yolo County, California, Everett, Washington, Sheridan, Wyoming, Yountville, California, Casper, Wyoming, and Seattle, Washington. Season 2, which is in post-production, will feature the Carolinas, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Florida, Gervois said. In discussing Season 3, Gervois said, Boyce wanted to challenge stereotypes. If you live in New York City, or if you live in Europe or in Asia, and you're a cultural traveler, you might want to consider going to the United States, going to New York City, or Los Angeles, or Chicago. You might think about Texas as a place you go for a business meeting, not necessarily to see art, and that's what we want to change, Gervois said. With all of the discussions we're having with Texas cities, we see how important is art in so many cities in Texas, and we want to celebrate that and show that. In researching possible locations, Gervois said he started out with the Texas Commission on the Arts and then found himself on the Odessa Arts website. Immediately, I was like, wow, this city, they take art very seriously. They're having a lot of events in music, sculpture, painting, Gervois said. So I am interested and I want to learn more. So I talked with Randy Hamm. We talked about Odessa and we decided to include Odessa. While here, Voice will interview four or five artists in their studios and in front of their public art pieces, Gervoise said. I know she also wants to interview with historians and people who can give a coherent perspective on the role of art in the city, Gervoise said. What is the soul of Odessa? What is the DNA of the city of Odessa? We want to give a voice to artists so they can tell us, here is the work I do. I'm painting, I'm doing sculpture, I'm doing dance. Here is how we can also tell the story of Odessa. What is the dialogue between an artwork and the community? Originally from France, Gervoise said he lived in Shanghai for 10 years, producing a luxury arts and travel magazine in Mandarin for Chinese people interested in traveling to the United States. He immigrated to New York in 2013 and began producing an English language arts and travel magazine. In 2018, his company decided to expand into documentary filmmaking, he said. Voice, too, is from France. Despite the stereotypes, Gervoise said a large majority of French people love American culture. Season 1 of the documentary was well received, and it's his wish Season 2 and Season 3 will also encourage people to visit the featured cities and support the arts by purchasing artwork, Gervoise said. We're really very happy to be able to achieve that, he said. Chevron cites markets instability. Company pursuing major project in Kazakhstan. The American energy industry has been enjoying its rebound from the pandemic, but that doesn't mean there are any assurance that the good times will last, says Chevron Chairman CEO Mike Wirth of San Ramon, California. It's a market that is not stable, Wirth said in Chevron's second quarter call report. It's not in equilibrium right now. Inventories are quite low, demand is still strong, and economies seem to be handling it. If prices were to move higher, I do think they would start to be a bit bigger drag on the economy than what we have seen. There is a lot of tension in this market, and the supply response is coming. Wirth said 2020 brought a contraction unlike anything I have seen in my lifetime. We had to constrain activity because there was no sense in producing more oil when the world needed a lot less, he said. It wasn't clear at the time how long that might last and how deep it would be, and so every segment of the industry responded. Noting that supply always changes more slowly than demand, Wirth said the demand has not fully recovered from China and other nations are still in COVID lockdown at various times. Even with that, demand has responded more quickly than supply could match it, he said. Then you overlay a lot of other issues. The independent exploration and production companies are feeling more of an obligation to return cash to their shareholders, and some of the big integrated companies have reprioritized new energy versus traditional energy and have indicated they intend to shrink rather than grow their oil and gas production. Then you go around the world to the national oil companies, and everybody's got a little bit different situation. Wirth said Chevron is pursuing a major project in Kazakhstan, and other companies around the world have got things they're doing as well. But it just comes in at a different pace than the demand has moved. We're in a market that's tight right now, that has a lot of uncertainty, and that is not likely to resolve itself in the near term. Wirth said President Biden's release of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is an attempt to lower the price of gasoline for consumers, can do a certain amount to calm those markets. But over time, it's a cyclical business. One of the lessons of history is, just as the bad times don't last forever, neither do the times when prices are strong, Wirth said. We can't start to believe they'll always be like this, and I think in the relative short term, the tensions are likely to remain. Chevron Vice President Chief Financial Officer Pierre Breber said the company delivered another quarter of strong financial results with a return on capital expenditure of more than 25%, the highest since 2008. Special items this quarter include asset sales gains of $200 million and a $600 million charge to terminate early a long-term liquefied natural gas regas contract at Sabine Pass. Brebber is in reference to an area near Port Arthur on the Texas Gulf Coast. Quick Hits Radiothon, Kix 99.1 FM from West Texas Radio Group, is hosting the Kix Cares for Kids Radiothon today, benefiting the local Children's Miracle Network hospitals at Medical Center Health System. The Radiothon will run from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. today at West Texas Radio Group. Listeners can tune in to Kix 99.1 FM or online at www.kix99.net. Kix will encourage listeners to make a donation to help kids treated at MCHS. Advantage Health Plus is the local presenting sponsor for the event, among other generous companies and individuals. Listeners can also donate by texting KIXKIDS to 432-520-9910, calling 888-499-5437, or by stopping by to make a donation. 100% of the funds raised from the KIX Cares for Kids Radiothon will directly benefit the NICU and pediatric units at Medical Center Health System. It will be used to buy life-saving equipment, specialized training for staff to better serve patients, and research to help future patients. Back-to-school COVID-19 vaccine clinic. The Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled a back-to-school COVID-19 vaccine clinic for ages 6 months and older from 8 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. each Thursday throughout September. Visit tinyurl.com/54TSK5SK. Odessa Job Fair. DiversityX has scheduled a free virtual job fair from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. today. There will be more than 40 companies to interview with. Register at tinyurl.com/YWHPUUFN. Foster Care Lunch and Learn. CASA of West Texas, 1611 West Texas Avenue, Midland, has scheduled a lunch and learn. Be the sunshine for a child in foster care. From noon to 1 p.m. today, lunch will be provided. Visit tinyurl.com/PJ6UUVXJ. ECISD Community Outreach. The Ector County Independent School District Community Outreach will be helping individuals who want to go back and finish high school from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. today at Music City Mall. Visit tinyurl.com/MSMUSKR9. Read to Felix. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Read to Felix. Therapy Dog loves to hear stories from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Thursdays through October 27th in the Children's Department. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Hayes Volunteer wins State Award. Debbie McReynolds wasn't looking for an award or acclaim when she set out to volunteer at Hayes STEAM Academy, but she got them anyway. McReynolds received the Hero for Students Award from the State Board of Education and was recognized with the other regional winners during the SBOE meeting in Austin on September 2nd. She is one of just 15 people to earn the distinction, which is given annually to one representative from each SBOE district. McReynolds has been giving of her time for 8 years, according to the Ector County ISD newsletter, but said she has been really active the past 5. Her emphasis is the lab at Hayes. That's my love. That's what I studied at school. And that's where my interests are. I want the kids to enjoy science and understand how important it is in their lives, McReynolds said. She added that she was amazed and blessed beyond measure that she won a statewide award. Debbie Lieb, now retired, was the district's community liaison specialist and is in charge of the volunteers in the schools. McReynolds said Lieb was instrumental in getting everything submitted. It surprised me because I know there are so many wonderful volunteers in ECISD, she added. She got to hear information about each awardee. It was interesting to see what volunteers across the state have done to assist their schools, McReynolds said. She said there was one volunteer with 50 years of experience. The volunteers did everything from setting up safety exercises in the gym so children could learn to cross the street to helping students get scholarships. McReynolds said it made her aware that if you have any interest or talent you can use to help teachers, students, and staff, it's worth it. You feel like you get back more than you give. There are so many diverse needs in the school. Blessings just come back to you, she added. Honestly, it's not the award, it's the kids, it's the teachers. The award is like the cherry on the cake. I would be here anyway. It's as fun for me as I hope it is for the kids, McReynolds said. McReynolds worked in the city's utility department for 35 years, starting out in the lab. Then, when she retired, she was director of utilities. She earned an associate degree in science from Odessa College, went to Texas Women's University for a bachelor's in biology, and while she was working for the city, earned a master's degree in life science from University of Texas, Permian Basin. Hayes principal Paula Danheim said that it is an amazing award. The campus has 40 volunteers, about 18 of whom are very active every day and every week. She added that they can't do what they do without their support, so they are extremely happy to have them. Debbie did a phenomenal job getting that award, Danheim said. A lot of what Debbie provides is a background in science. That's her strength, and so we've turned a lot of the science lab, setting up the labs, or sometimes even presenting the science experiment. She gets to lead that. She also helps with a science fair every year, so since science is her strength, that's where we use her. The kids absolutely love her. She makes it fun for them, Danheim added. Fair Open Cattle and Steer Show Results. Angus Division, Gentry, Barraza, Class 1, Red Angus, Champion. American Division, Madison Hansen, Class 2, Brangus, Reserve Champion. Megan Hansen, Class 2, Brangus, 2nd place. Madison Hansen, Class 3, Brangus, Champion. American Bull, Madison Hansen, Class 6, Brangus, Champion. Open Steer Show, Lola Harding, Class 24, Minnie Herford, Champion. Brazos Harding, Class 25, Pold Herford, Champion. Krista Law, Class 25, Pold Herford, Reserve Champion. Dylan Vickers, Class 26, Herford, 1st place. Peyton Wagner, Class 25, Herford, 1st place. Bailey McLean, 25, Herford, 2nd place. Dylan Vickers, Class 28 and 29. Herford Champion, Peyton Wagner, Class 28, 29, Herford, Reserved Champion, Brazos Harding. Class 30, Red Cross, 1st place, Dylan Vickers. Class 31, Red Cross, 1st place, Brazos Harding. Class 32 and 33, Red Cross Champion, Dylan Vickers. Class 32 and 33, Red Cross, Reserve Champion, Krista Law. Class 34, White Cross, Champion, Dylan Vickers. Class 34, White Cross, Reserve Champion, Logan Cook. Class 35, Black Cross, Champion, Tyler Harrison. Class 36, All Other Colors, Champion, Krista Law. Class 37 and 38, White Cross, Grand Champion Steer, Dylan Vickers. Class 37 and 38, White Cross, Reserve Champion Steer. Odessa Chamber of Commerce sets annual meeting awards banquet. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce will celebrate the annual meeting and awards banquet at 6 p.m. September 15th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. This event celebrates the achievements of the past fiscal year and recognizes the many volunteers that help make these accomplishments possible. The Chamber will also hold a special tribute to Senator Kel Seliger in recognition for all his accomplishments throughout his term. Lastly, the new Board of Directors will be installed. Don Landgraf will be the MC for the evening. Our 2021-2022 chair, Jimmy Cox, will address the audience as outgoing chair and will swear in the 2022-2023 Board of Directors, followed by remarks from our incoming 2022-2023 chair, Grayson Hankins. 2022-2023 board members to be installed: Sarah Amiri, Odessa Regional Medical Center; Darpan Bakata, Insignia Hospitality Group; Mary Blaine, Permian Basin Rehab Center; Jimmy Brew, PEM Company Equipment Incorporated; Stacy L. Brown, Odessa Regional Medical Center; Judd Campbell, Whitley Penn Treasurer, Chair-Elect; Cruz Castillo, JSA Architects; Jimmy Cox, Southwest Bank Immediate Past Chair; Shem Culpepper, First Basin Credit Union Vice Chair Discover Odessa; Keith Dial, Microtel Inn and Suites by Wyndham; Chris Drake, Chevron; Wayne Dunson; Steve Oliver, Realtors; Andy Espinoza, Prosperity Bank; Michael Forrest, Forrest Brothers Tire and Alignment; Andrea Goodson, Atmos Energy, Vice Prayer Legislative Affairs; Grayson Hankins, University Health Mart Pharmacy and Medical Supply Chair; Charles Chalk Harris, Gulf Coast Authority; Carlos Hernandez, Bobby Cox Companies, Roses Cafe, Vice Chair Economic Development; Paul Lucas, Frost Bank, Vice Chair Membership and Programs; Andrew Marshall, Sewell Family of Companies; Amy Martin, Southwest Bank; Jeff Myers, Habitat for Humanity, Vice Chair Community Development; C.B. Notley, Kalane; Gus Ortega, Encore Electric Delivery; Allison Praden, Medical Center Health System Foundation; Enrique Romero, The Medessa Group; Craig Stoker, Meals on Wheels; Ekaterina Teltivskaya, Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center; Chris Withrow, Basin Abstract and Title; Lisa Wyman, Complex Community Federal Credit Union. Dropout recovery events scheduled. A coalition of local education agencies are coming together to bring students who have dropped out back to school. Ector County ISD, Odessa College GED Program, Ector Acceleration Academies, Richard Milburn Academy, and Catholic Charities Corey Learning Center GED Program all offer ways for students to reconnect to school and earn a high school diploma, and all will be part of three community outreach events scheduled over the next week. Students who have dropped out and their parents will be encouraged to visit any of these events and find out more about each opportunity so they can choose one that works best for them to resume their education. Today, 2:30 to 7 at Music City Mall between At Home and the Movie Theater. Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to noon at the ECISD Community Outreach Center, 301 East Clements Street. September 15th from 3:30 to 7 p.m. in the Odessa College Salisbury Campus Center Foyer. During each of these times, a team of volunteers will be making home visits to speak with students who have dropped out, encouraging them to go to the sites listed above to learn about ways they can return to school and complete their high school education, a news release said. Demand for a highly skilled, highly educated workforce continues to grow, and earning a high school diploma is the first step for each student to complete, the release said. Diamondback Energy, Rattler Midstream LP, announced completion of merger. Diamondback Energy Incorporated and Rattler Midstream LP recently announced the completion of the previously announced merger between Rattler and Diamondback. The merger resulted in Diamondback acquiring all of the limited partner interest in Rattler, not already owned by Diamondback, and its subsidiaries. Each public unit holder of Rattler received 0.113 of a share of common stock in Diamondback in exchange for each Rattler common unit owned. Effective August 24th, Rattler's common units will no longer be listed on the NASDAQ Global Select Market, and it will cease to be a publicly traded company. Diamondback is an independent oil and natural gas company headquartered in Midland, focused on the acquisition, development, exploration, and exploitation of unconventional onshore oil and natural gas reserves in the Permian Basin in West Texas. For more information, please visit www.diamondbackenergy.com, a news release said. Rattler Midstream LP is a Delaware limited partnership formed by Diamondback to own, operate, develop, and acquire midstream and energy-related infrastructure assets. Rattler owns crude oil, natural gas, and water-related midstream assets in the Permian Basin that provide services to Diamondback and third-party customers under primarily long-term fixed-fee contracts. Local news roundup. DPS identifies pedestrian killed last month. The Texas Department of Public Safety has identified the pedestrian who was killed last month in an accident on West University Boulevard at Polaris Avenue. According to DPS, Guadalupe Hernandez Franco, 55, of Odessa, was crossing FM 2020 outside of a crosswalk on August 21st when he was struck by a Ford F-150 being driven by a 47-year-old Odessa man shortly before 9 p.m. Franco was then struck by other vehicles. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Franco wasn't immediately identified, and it took time to locate relatives to tell them of his death. Odessan arrested on suspicion of injury to child. An Odessa man was arrested Monday after an Ector County police lieutenant reported seeing him punch a 12-year-old boy in the face repeatedly at the Ector County Coliseum. According to an ECSO report, deputies were working off-duty security at a Coliseum event when they learned of a fight inside the grounds of the Coliseum around 11 p.m. Monday. As they responded, they saw several kids walking toward the exit yelling at another group. The lieutenant saw Devin Dunn, 18, run at the 12-year-old and strike him in the face several times with a closed fist, the report stated. After taking Dunn into custody, deputies found cocaine in one of his pockets, according to the report. Dunn was arrested on suspicion of injury to a child and possession of a controlled substance, less than 1 gram. Both offenses are state jail felonies, punishable by 6 months to 2 years in prison. Dunn remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday on surety bonds totaling $15,000. ECSO investigating fatal fire. The Ector County Sheriff's Office is investigating the death of a West Odessan in a fire early Wednesday morning. According to the ECSO, firefighters learned of a fire in the 2500 block of Conger Road shortly before 3 a.m. When they arrived, they found a fully engulfed recreational vehicle camper, said Odessa Fire Rescue Battalion Chief Quentin Dobmeyer. After the fire was extinguished, a body was found inside. The victim has not been positively identified, and the remains have been released to the medical examiner's office, according to the ECSO. Odessa man arrested on possession of child porn charges. A 19-year-old Odessa man was arrested Friday after he admitted using Snapchat to share child pornography. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, a DPS special agent received a tip from the National Center for Missing and endangered children about a Snapchat account uploading 6 child pornography videos. The agent watched the videos and discovered they were 14 seconds to 2 minutes long in length and documented girls who appeared to be from 4 to 10 years old being raped in a variety of ways, the report stated. The agent linked the account to Damien Long, who admitted to creating a fake Snapchat video to send nude images, the report stated. Long was arrested on suspicion of 6 counts of possession of child pornography, a Class 3 felony, punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 10 years. He was released from the Ector County Jail Saturday after posting surety bonds totaling $60,000. Election Office issues registration deadline PSA. The Ector County Elections Office issued a public service announcement Wednesday that details to be eligible to vote in the general, City of Odessa, and the Ector County Utility District election on November 8th that a person must be a registered voter. If a person is not a registered voter or if they need to update their address with the voter registrar, they have until October 11th to do so in person, or applications must be postmarked October 11th. They may also visit the Secretary of State's website at sos.state.tx.us. If you are unsure of your voting status, the Elections Office said to call at 432-498-4030. Police investigating fight. An Odessa Police Department investigation into a large fight at Burger King, 1920 East 42nd Street, is ongoing. Monica Quintero, Public Relations Manager for the Odessa Police Department, said there were no injuries and they were taking several reports of assaults. It's an ongoing problem with a fight Wednesday night, and that was all the information she had right now, Quintero said in a text message. Today's obituary for Thursday, September 8th. Ella Louise Cookie Cooper passed away in her sleep on Sunday, September 4th in Brownwood, Texas, at the age of 82. Cookie was born to Eugene A. Meyer and June Elizabeth Norman Meyer on June 12, 1940, in San Antonio. Cookie was preceded in death by both of her parents. She is survived by her brother E.A. Tony Meyer and his wife Elaine of Floresville, Texas, as well as some nieces and nephews. A private family memorial will be held. In lieu of flowers, contributions can be made to the ASPCA or to the Memorial Scholarship Fund at Ector County ISD.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.